Today's message is cleansing the plagues from our homes. Last week I talked about brass heavens and iron soil, talking about our prayer life and the need for personal holiness and cleansing in our lives. Today, I want to take it the next step, because what God is leading us to do, He wants us to do as a church. And it's going to require these first steps, personal holiness and getting ourselves right before God. But this step is probably the utmost step that we need to take as a body, local assembly. And on July 11th last year, I preached a sermon on intercessory. Are we there? Ouch! Ouch! He's touching me! Oh! Oh!
Touching you.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Elijah, are you there, buddy? Can you hear me? Okay, man. It's cool. Where was I? Oh, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. At least you guys were paying attention. I'm too poor to pay attention. But anyhow, we talked about intercessory prayer and preparing for this time. And I've been saying that if you didn't have a prayer life, you really need to cultivate a prayer life. If you have a prayer life, that prayer life needs to come together with the church in order for us to break open the brass heavens, and we can have heaven begin to really manifest in power and in glory. Daniel had been part of a work years ago that we almost broke through, but the enemy had gotten in. I am here to tell you that we are going to break through.
Hallelujah.
And we are going to see God's glory, and we are going to see many souls won and brought into the kingdom for His glory. But God has given us a prescription how to cleanse our homes of these plagues. And if you would turn to Leviticus, the 14th chapter, we're going to be going through a lot of scripture today. We're going to be in verses 33 to 53, 20 verses. I'm going to dissect it as quickly as possible for us, and hopefully the Holy Spirit will give us understanding. Father, we just come before You. We submit to You, Lord God. Allow Your anointing to flow through me today, God, to show that and teach us what we need to know, God, to move as one church in Jesus' name. Amen. In this reference in Leviticus, God has spoken to Moses and Aaron, and He was telling them that when they entered into the land of milk and honey, that they were going to inherit vineyards that they didn't plant, they were going to inherit crops that they did not sow, and they were going to live in homes that they didn't build. And so in this discourse that we're going to go through, God wants to bless our homes. He truly does. And when I talk about what happens here at Streams and how you guys love hanging here, I mean, it just shows the manifestation of God's presence here, and you guys want to dwell here. And I relish that, because you don't find that in a lot of churches. As soon as the sermon's done, man, they're out and they're booking, or it's their little clubs that they get together with, you know. And I was saying to Ken yesterday, I said, you know, in our fellowship, we genuinely like each other. We love to be with each other. We want to spend time with each other. And that's what family's supposed to be. Unfortunately, our physical families are so messed up that we carry that and bring that into the church, and we really don't understand what is happening or what has happened to disintegrate that. Well, today, I want us to begin to understand that there are things going on in the spirit realm that God has already told us what we need to know and to do in order to have this success and to have it here at Streams, and especially in my home. We've worked very, very hard to perform what I'm going to share with you, and it's going to take work. It's going to take a lot of discernment as to what's going on in your life. to see how to see this reality and then deal with it spiritually. Amen? Okay, so we have to understand that as like Israel, when they entered into the promised land, they were going to live in homes that they didn't build. When you entered into Jesus Christ, you began to inherit the promises, and you were finding a place to dwell in. And your homes, you didn't build. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, I've been living in this house ever since I've been a Christian and all this. What I want you to understand is you can be a Christian and still not have the blessings of God on your home. And what I want us to do is have those blessings in the home so that when we come together, all those blessings come together and is magnified, and thereby people are drawn to the Spirit of God, because that's who it is that's working this thing out. God wants to fill our homes with love. He wants our children to flourish in an environment that is safe and secure. He wants His love to be seasoned with words of kindness and goodness. He wants the house to be free of all kind of tension and all. Not saying that we don't have tension, but it's more of a consistency that we're at peace with one another and with God than the opposite of what's going on. He wants us to be able to speak to us His word when we're asleep, so that His divine creative imagination can affect our imaginations, and we can come up with things that the world has benefited from. Every person who has asked God for an invention, and Thomas Alva Edison was a great person who exemplified asking God and trying for those things. George Washington Carver took one particular seed, a peanut, and made over a variety of 141 different types of things that he made from peanuts. Peanut butter to peanut oil to paste to all kinds of things that came from the peanut. He used the shell for tons of things. But he asked God to give it to him. And it's really interesting. If you never read about George Washington Carver, there's a part in there that he just went to God and said, just give me one thing. And God said, have you ever examined the peanut? And the rest is history. You know, these are men, and I could talk about countless other women that have asked God for one thing. But what we're about to ask God for is one thing, because we're going to take it one thing at a time. I have several questions I want to ask you. Is your house filled with tension? Is your house filled with constant arguments? Does tempers flare up over minor things? Are our words filled with venom? Do our actions become abusive one to another? Is the house filled with negativity and destruction? Is our attitudes bad? And the only time that we have good things happening is when we're here in fellowship one with another. If you can answer yes to any one of those questions, one or more of those questions, then you have a plague in your house that needs to be eradicated. And believe me, it's going to take a lot of work. If you say that this is just normal life, this is not normal life for the believer. Normal life is living in joy, peace, and comfort and security in the Holy Spirit. That is what's normal for us. It is abnormal for us to have constant conflict and tension and all. So what I want us to begin to do is to understand that God has a prescription. 2 Peter 2, verses 21 and 22 says, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turned their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. As of them, the Proverbs is true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow to the that was washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. I'll put it this way. To tolerate that condition or to tolerate sin, you deserve what you're living in. You deserve it. God has a way for us to come out of that and have a life that exemplifies heaven and creates this thing that people, when they come, They don't ever want to leave. Can we say amen? That's what he wants. But if our lives, our homes are filled with this, then there's a problem. So how do we discern? How do we remove this plague? What are the steps? Let's turn to Leviticus 14. We're going to start with verses 33 through 35. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "When you enter into the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to you as your possession, and I put a spreading mildew in a house that in that land, the owner of the house must go and tell the priest, 'I've seen something that looks like mildew in my house.'" Now, we all know that mildew, there are deadly mildews and all, but God was putting this mildew into the house. Why? It wasn't the devil that was putting this mildew in. It was God was putting this in here. And the reason for it was that the Canaanites, when they left their homes, they didn't take all their idols with them. They didn't take all their pagan paraphernalia with them. They hid them in the walls and in the floors and in the ceilings of these homes. They hid them in there because they figured that Israel was going to be thrown out of the land. They would come back and pick up as business as normal. Well, that's not what God wanted to do. And you've heard me say, for every spiritual truth, there is a physical reality to it that God wants us to learn. The physical reality is that God allowed this mildew to come into these homes because there was demonic activity in that home. There was something drawing demons into those places, and the person who saw this was actually like a litmus test to prove that there was something wrong in that house. And their job was, once they realized that there was this mildew in their homes, that they had to go call the priest. It wasn't that, you know, we had water running all over the place and all this other nonsense. He was trying to get us to understand that if it was just something like that, we could have called a plumber. Why was he calling the priest? And the reason is, he was trying to show us a physical reality. This is something that was invisible to our eyes. Do we have that? So the first step into this thing is to realize that we have a problem in our homes and we need to call upon the priest. Who's the priest? Pastor. Your husband. Why? Because we have to discern what's going on. God has an answer to this, but we have to realize that there's a problem. And most people don't want to admit that they got problems in their homes, let alone admit that God's got the answer and solution, because why? We don't want to do it God's way, right? And that's the truth. But if we can come and understand that we have a problem in there, then we are not going to be deceived. The enemy is not going to tell us, well, this is normal living. It's not normal. It's not normal for parents to take advantage of the kids. It's not normal for the kids to yell and scream at the parents. It's not to get into a physical conflict with husband and wives. That's not normal. That is the world. And it's evil and it's destructive and it's not God. So let's continue on. Verses 36 through 38. The priest is to order the house to be empty before he goes to examine the mildew, so that nothing in the house will be pronounced unclean. After this, the priest is to go in and inspect the house. He is to examine the mildew on the walls, and if it is greenish or reddish depressions that appear to be deeper than the surface of the wall, the priest shall go out of the doorway of the house and close it up for 7 days. When a person realizes there's something wrong in their house, and they call the priest isn't going to say, "You know what, Kimmy, I'm glad you came. You know, a week from Tuesday would be great for me. How about for you?" Which pastors do today. He is to stop what he's doing immediately. There's nothing more important than finding out what's going on. Why? In the spirit realm, we have to determine what dynamic that is going on here. What evil is presenting itself here to cause this chaos? God is not an author of chaos, so that leads us to one individual, Satan. And he hates you, he hates me, he hates anything that is godly, kingdom. He hates everything that's in there. And as a matter of fact, he hates me preaching this message today. Tough. He He's going to be out of our homes one way or another. So the priest stops and what he's doing. He goes to the house, and everything in that house has to be removed so that he can examine the type of mildew it is. If it's red, if it's or green, and it has these depressions, or in other words, if it's sunk into the nooks and crannies, he shuts up the house for 7 days. Why do you think that is? Seven is the number of completion. It will take 7 days to complete a thorough examination. If this examination is not thorough, we could miss something. Everything that's in there has to be removed because it's in a contaminated environment, which could cause sterility. Do you know that nothing can live in a sterile environment? It can for a short time, but it can't live in an environment that is constantly in conflict. It will begin to allow other demons to come in, like depression, like fear. And I could just go on and on about what's going on. These are real demons. These are not symptoms. These are demons that create symptoms that the world, especially in America today, wants to medicate us to believe in that this is normal. What is normal is there is a spiritual reason that these things are happening, and you can only solve a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. And God has been so good, He has given us the solution, but because we're naive, we've listened to the lie of the enemy. The Old Testament isn't for us. We live in the New Testament. Well, my Bible tells me in the New Testament that the Old Testament was given as an example for me. I had to learn from these examples. So it's not that I live under the law of Moses. What I do is learn from the law of Moses to live in grace. And in through these examples, we are to bring in the kingdom of God in ourselves and into our homes. So we shut up the house for 7 days. We wait for a thorough examination. And so the next step we have to realize is, first, we have a problem. Second, we have to get the priest involved. And if he tells you that your problem can wait a couple, 3 weeks, you need to go find another fellowship. And you need to tell your friends that too, because according to the Word of God, they need to stop what they're doing and handle the problem. Leviticus 14:39-42 says, "And on the seventh day the priest shall return to inspect the house. If the mildew has spread on the walls, he is to order the contaminated stones to be torn out and thrown into an unclean place outside the town. He must have all the inside walls of the house scraped and the material that is scraped off dumped into an unclean place outside the town. Then they are to take other stones to replace these and take new clay and plaster and put them into the house." What's he saying here? What he's saying here is that, you know what? If we've removed everything out and this thing is still growing in our home, then obviously this thing is deeper. You have to get to the source of the problem. You have to get to what is causing this. And so what he was saying in a physical sense is that I have to remove everything that could be conducting itself to draw these things into my life. Any kind of pagan worship, idol worship, anything, they act as lightning rods for these demons to come into our homes. And what we do is we justify or we tolerate, because you know what? If I begin to start showing myself different than from the world, they don't like me. I'm not able to converse with them. I'm not able to relate to them. It's not about relating. It's not whether they like. It's whether you have peace in your home. It's whether you're going to honor God and not honor the world. That's what it's about. And so what he's telling us is to remove everything that is not godly. Remove it. Dig into it. Scrape in. Roll up your sleeves. Get into every nook and cranny. Get into everything. Start looking at things that's in your home. Your music. Start looking into video games. Start looking into the TV shows you watch. Look into the books you read. Look into the magazines that you read. Look into the movies that you watch. And get rid of those things that don't edify and bring glory to God. You have to do the work. You have to get rid of it. And it doesn't mean that you take it and put it out here and then you have a yard sale with it. It says take it and dump it to destroy it. Absolutely correct. You're not the prophet. All you did was you went from one sin to another sin. God says get rid of it. Destroy it. If it's not healthy for you, how can it be healthy for someone else? I can remember this one time. Jesse's friend had come back from the shore and won this troll. And me and my spirit was agitated. It was agitated like nobody's business. And I said to Jesse, I said, I hate to tell you this, but that thing's got to get out of our house. But it's a doll. It's not what's about the doll. It's what's attached to that doll. I said, there's a demon attached to it. And I said, as your father, I cannot allow this in there. But it was a gift. I said, I don't care. I said, I need to honor God before for that. And if that caused you to be distressed, I will do whatever I need to do to protect you spiritually and protect my home. I said, I will make it up to you, but I have to remove that from my home. In removing it, it also said that we had to put something else in its place. If I find that my movies that I've been watching are borderline, and even now today, I would say that even some of our PG movies are not even worth watching. Because the moral and ethical issues are just cramming down the throats of people. And they're just saying, that's normal. It is not normal. It is not normal for women to have relationships with women. It's not normal for men to have relationships with men. It's not normal for adults to have relationships with kids. It is not normal. It is evil. It is wicked. And it is demonically inspired. If our music is bad, then we need to throw out all the music that is no good and replace it with good music. The books we read. Hate to break it to you, but Potter needs to go. Hate to tell you, you know. Anything with witchcraft, even though it's a story and it's all pretend, it's what's attached to it that we have to get to see. You see, we're seeing a physical thing and we're justifying and tolerating it. God is saying it's a spiritual thing. He manifests this thing in the spirit or in the physical realm for the priest to understand that there was a spiritual thing. So what they did was, as they're digging, they found these idols in the walls. They found them in the wood. They removed them. They destroyed them. They didn't go, oh God, they're made of gold. We'll give it to... They destroyed them. We have to destroy everything that is unclean, unhealthy for us. Because what are we trying to create? We're trying to create a place that is safe and secure for our families. And if you're not worried about that, then you know what? You and I need to have a sit down and talk about it. Because we cannot thrive in those situations that are pressure cookers day in and day out. That is not of God. God wants to flourish us and prosper us. But he wants it done in his way. He will not inhabit our homes if they're filled with wickedness and evil things. Because what we have done is we have invited unknowingly these demons into our homes. And I'll touch that more. We have to demolish the works of Satan. We have to eradicate those things. And so the next step is for us is that if a symptom still exists, we can't just ignore it. We have to dig deeper. We have to get to the root of everything and cleanse it out. It's just like, you know, if we have a wound that's festered and it's filled with pus, you can't just squeeze the pus out and not do anything about it. We need to clean it. We need to lance it. We need to get all the junk out. We need to disinfect it and then allow it to heal properly. Keeping an eye on it. And that's what God is saying here. You know, it's going to take time. Satan deceived us. He deluded us. He caused us to be deceived in thinking that these things are okay. But God says, they're not okay. I want to bless you. I want my presence to be there on your home. I want you to be able to bless your neighbors. I want my presence to be able to go with you wherever you go. But I can't go there. Leviticus 14, 46 through 48 says, anyone who goes into the house while it is closed up will be unclean till evening. Anyone who sleeps or eats in the house must wash his clothes. But if the priest comes to examine it and the mildew has not spread after the house has been plastered, he shall pronounce it that the house is clean because the mildew is gone. If we have done everything, but yet we're still living in that environment with these things, there is an influence that is still resident there. And that influence, or that impartation, now comes upon our clothes. Demons, when cast out, they're looking for a place to live. And what's familiar to them is everything that's in our homes. And they will live in our clothing. They will live in our furniture. They will live in things, and then at a time begin to expand, speaking to our thoughts. You know what? Led Zeppelin really isn't that bad. Iron Maiden just isn't that bad. You know? Country music is really bad. I'm playing it. Yes, you know, in country music, you lose your girl, you lose your house, you lose your pickup truck, you lose your gun. Still have the shells. But we have to understand that there may still be things in our houses that we're ignorant of. And in this Western culture that we live in, we are so infantile in our understanding as to spiritual realities. It's unbelievable. Because we are a society that is mobile, we travel to a lot of countries. And in those countries, we buy things. And we bring those things home, thinking that they would be so nice to give a souvenir to someone. Voodoo dolls, amulets from the Caribbean we need to destroy. Scarabs, figurines, idols, Buddhas, samurai swords, masks from the Far East must be destroyed because demons are attached to these things. Fetishes, talismans, ritual drums, witch doctor charms and potions, medicine dolls from Africa, tiki dolls from Hawaii, patch latch figures, good luck charms, divining rods from America, animus figures and art from Central and South America, shaman figurines. These are all attached with demonic activity. They're lightning rods. I go into a person's house and I walk past a Buddha. I don't know about you, but my spirit just gets all upset because it's all that Eastern religious stuff that's coming in, Eastern mysticism, all the Kung Fu Louis jobs, you know, yoga. All this New Age stuff is derivatives of that, and it's demonically inspired to draw us away from God. You say, I don't worship the devil. But if you've got these things in your homes, you're not allowing God to come in. And if you've removed everything and your house is good, and you'll see. But you know, on rare occasions, this is not the end of the solution. We've cleaned out all our music. We've cleaned out all the books we've read. The porno and stuff like that's been gone. And praise God we've done that. But have we looked deeper? Because in some rare occasions, the mildew will continue. And as we see in Leviticus 49 through 53, that will be the case. So our fifth step is to become educated in spiritual things, in the spiritual world. Here in the West, you know, I find that a lot of pastors are not educated in the spiritual realities. They're still worried about how many people are coming. I'm worried about who's going to hell. They're worried about, oh, did they like my sermon? I'm concerned that I pierce their souls enough to want to clean themselves up before God and get real with God. They're more interested in the potluck dinner that's coming, and I'm more concerned about if you've had enough spiritual food to eat to last you till tomorrow so that you can begin to feed yourself. See, God is exciting once we begin to comprehend His Word. And I know Leviticus is not one of my favorite books to read. It just isn't. And so it's probably two fingers worth of barf. But if you let the Spirit of God begin to bring revelation to you, you can begin to understand why He did these things with Israel as an example for us to keep our homes clean so that He can cause us to thrive and prosper, cause good things to come upon us, not bad things. To purify the house, He is to take two birds and some cedar wood and sacred yarn and hyssop. He shall kill one of the birds over the fresh water in the clay pot, and then he shall take the cedar water, the hyssop, the scarlet yarn, and the live bird, and dip them into the blood of the dead bird and the fresh water, and sprinkle the house seven times. He shall purify the house with the bird's blood, the fresh water, the live bird, the cedar water, and the hyssop, and the scarlet yarn. Then he is to release the live bird to the open fields outside the town, and in this way he will make atonement for the house, and it will be clean. In rare occasions, if after removing the stones and the plaster, the plague didn't stop, they actually demolished the home. They took it, everything in that home, because it wasn't fit for a human habitation because of the demonic influence. And what they did was they excavated the floors and they found little amulets or pagan idols buried in the tile or under the tiles of these homes. And I mean, they went down feet to excavate to make sure they didn't miss anything. And nothing was to be built upon this place for a short period of time. And if nothing came out of it after they had done all this purging and stuff, they atoned. They cleansed it spiritually with a sacrifice. If you'd done everything and nothing comes back and your house is starting to become peaceful, if you remove the alcohol, because there's people that have problems with alcohol, but there's demons with it. If you're people that you tolerated to have drugs in your house and you've cleansed that all out of your house, if you've had certain things that have come in as gifts to you and you realize that they're not godly, then it's time to call the priest and make atonement. And the atonement is to symbolize that your home is clean. We don't sacrifice animals. We have a sacrifice. His name is Jesus. And what we do is spiritually apply the blood, His blood, upon the home and declare it clean. Now that's not the end of the responsibility of the believer. The believer has to consecrate or dedicate themselves and their home and everything that they have to the Lord before He'll enter into our homes. And I've done that with my home after I've gone through. And even in this lesson, I went through again and found some things that were hidden. Not that I knowingly had them, but I just realized that, you know what? They could be a lightning rod that would stir up conflict in my home. I need to get rid of these things. and I got rid of these things. They were destroyed. And they weren't anything big, you know. But if I find them questionable in my house, what do you have in your house that you've tolerated, that you, in your innocence, have thought that it was okay? I can't answer that for you. All I know is that for us, at Streams, we are coming together as one church to intercede, to break through the brass heavens, that the things that we do here produces things that will glorify God. And we're only as strong as the weakest link in our homes. And if we have gone through everything in our personal examination and we're okay, if we have gone through our homes, which I'm suggesting that we do, and we've dedicated our homes and we've asked the Lord to come in, and He still does not come in, then there's still stuff in there in our homes. It could be an attitude that needs to change. It could be a position that we're holding. I call it, you know, we want to fight right. We want to fight for our rights, not for peace. We're not willing to fight for the goals that God has set for us. We need to do a thorough cleaning, because when we come back from South Carolina, and I'll be talking with Dan about setting up one night a week where we as a church can come together and seek God. Seek Him to prepare the way for us. Seek Him to help us with this harvest. Seek Him. And that doesn't mean that you're where I'm at, and I don't want you to think that I'm saying that you are. I understand where everyone is. But if we're going to really do something this year, we need God. We need Him more than ever. And what has transpired in the last couple of weeks, and the demonic activity that has been assaulting us, it's not an idle threat. They want to kill us. They want to take us out. They do not want the light of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, to go forth into this community. Your friends and neighbors, your family members need to hear the truth. They need to see the truth in your life and in your home. What reality is it if we talk about Christ but we have not changed and our home environment is not anything to brag about? Remember I said in the church today, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts anymore. Which I appreciate Ed's honesty. When he first came to Streams, he came to examine us to see if we were a cult. And Kimmy, you were here when I said, well, I'm not preaching anything other than getting back to the plumb line that God has set for us, which is so radical different that we haven't even entered into the possibility of greater works. Well, guess what? I think we're close to that plumb line. I think we're about ready to enter into the greater works that God has promised us. I believe that we're going to see such tremendous things that, you know what we were afraid of months ago? We're going to be proponents of, because God's going to use us in that way. Why? Because we're not afraid of any demon in hell. We're not afraid of any fleshly man. We're afraid of God and what He can do. But I'm not talking about a fear that is wrong. I'm talking about a reverential fear of understanding how holy He is and what He has done to bring us into His family. He has paid a heavy price for us. He has waited a long time. And if you read Revelation, you can see the pieces are being put into place. We're getting close to His return. And I don't know about you, but my heart is to see people to get saved, to come in to know God like we know Him. Not whether our doctrines line up, not whether they have better music or they can preach a message better than me. That doesn't mean anything. What matters is, are we able to love in spite of our idiosyncrasies and differences? Are we able to love and do things together that will provoke others to jealousy? Are we able to supersede our pettiness for a greater cause that we personally enlisted to become? And I think we are. I think what we're going through attests to that fact. So it's up to you. I'll reiterate one more time the six steps that we need to go through. And the first step is, we've got to admit that we've got problems. If our homes are filled with what I described, we have a problem. Second is to examine the house, to have things examined. You know, what's going on? What is creating these demonic activities? What is drawing all this demonic activity? And we need the enlistance of the priest. Third step is to do a thorough cleaning. Go through everything. Even if it's questionable. If you've got a question, if it's valid, get rid of it. It's not worth chancing that it could upset God. The fourth thing is if we still have symptoms after we've done all this, don't ignore the symptoms. Get to the root of it. There's something deeper than just the superficial stuff. And most Christians, believe it or not, when they understand the Scripture, and I think today you understand the Scriptures a lot better over this, there's root problems in your homes. You need to get to the root issues and get rid of them quickly. This step is to become even more educated on the spiritual realities and the truths that who we are. I mean, God's speaking about, you got to know who you are in Him. Well, that is more prevalent today than ever. We're dealing with the spiritual realities that this Western culture just doesn't want to believe that there is. And it's real. God is real. And the sixth step is to make atonement, to cover your house in the blood. Atonement means simply to cover over. And if you divide the word atonement, it means at one with God. You're at one with God. And if you and God are at one, guess what? You're a majority. Because God will come into your house and He will change your house. He will cleanse it with His presence. He will make it holy. He will cause people to hunger and thirst and just want to hang. I have people that just want to hang with us. I mean, I thoroughly enjoy you guys hanging with me, but I still don't understand why. I mean, I understand now why, but I'm not that lovable type of person. I mean, Irene, I figure you come to see Irene, but you hang with me. And it's like, God, what are you doing here? You're blessing my socks off. But go through your home. Use oil. Plead the blood of Christ upon your house. After cleansing it, make that atonement. And make sure nothing comes in unless you thoroughly inspect it first into your home after that. Because that's what keeps the peace. That's what keeps God's presence here. That's what causes people to want to be drawn to your homes, to never want to leave. And it gives you opportunity to minister the love of Jesus Christ to those who are hurting. And if you're starting to already have that happen, it's because you're doing these things. You're able to share truth with people whose eyes are blind to truth. Because your home is a place where God's presence dwells. And you'll be able to help bring them into the harvest. Be part of streams and win them to streams or wherever God wants them to go. I used to have the attitude, just, you know, win them to Christ and get them out. Now I'm more of a near. Win them, because I believe what God has here isn't easily found in other churches. And I believe what we have is good for people. And, you know, talk with Kim, and she'll tell you that through that discipleship, man, your family sees a different woman to God's glory. And I talked with Ken yesterday, what, 2 hours afterwards? You know? And I'm just so proud of these guys. I'm so proud of you. That, you know what? What pastor could say he's proud of his spiritual children as much as I'm proud? Because you know what?
Now it's time to multiply. Now it's the time to go and get them. Now it's the time to fill Daddy's house up so that you guys, what you have learned, can be put into other people. And understand it. The devil is not going to be happy as we go along. But tough. He lost. We won. We have the victory in Jesus Christ. And we're going to do this. Amen?
Father, I just rejoice in you, Lord God. I rejoice in your people, God. I rejoice in you have provided us a tabernacle, a habitation where we can dwell with you, God, and have fellowship with you, God. Lord, I ask that you bless Streams of Life. Bless the people of Streams of Life, God. And give us increase, numerically and spiritually, God. Give us increase. In Jesus' name, I ask, God. Father, that we, Father, if we even become an affront to those in this town, God, we would rather be an affront to them than to you. God, you are our King, you are our Master, you are our Savior. You're the lover of our souls, God. What more can we do than this little thing, and that is to go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. God, we're going to go. We're going to do what you've told us to do. But we need you to go with us, God. We need you to go before us, Lord. We need you to be our rear guard. We need you to be on either side of us. God, we need you. Because if you don't go with us, if your presence don't go with us, we will not move, Lord. We can do nothing without you. We confess that, God. Prepare us, God, to move into battle in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.